ജയ വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിപ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയശരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തവിനാന്ദ ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദയ്ക്ക് ജയം. നിത്യലീല പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിപ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദയ്ക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് താക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീ കൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാ കൃഷ്ണ ഗോപ ഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരിഗോവർദ്ധാനിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻധാംക്ക് മായപ്പൂർധാംക്ക് മധുരപുരിധാംക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരിധാംക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരിധാംക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനാമായിക്ക് തുളസീദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരു അൻ ശ്രീ ഗൗരംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ നമാമിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഗുരുതലി ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാനന്ദ സ്വാമിനിനാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വദേവേ ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണി. ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണി ഭഗവതി അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനി അംബ ത്വാമനുസന്ദതാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണി നമോസ്തു ദേവ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധേ ഫുല്ലാരവിന്ദായതപത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയപ്രദീപ പ്രപന്നപരിജാതായ തോത്രവേത്രൈകബാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമഃ. സർവോപനിഷദോഗാവോദോക്താ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സസുധീർഭോക്താ ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത് വസുദേവ സുതം ദൈവം കംസച്ചാനൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും. ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതടാജേദ്രതജലാ ഗാന്ധാരനീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതി കൃപേണ മഹനീകർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാ വികർണഘോരമകരാ ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സോത്തീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദീ കൈവർത്തക കേശവ പാരാശര്യവജസ്വരവജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകേസരം ഹരികഥ സംബോധനാഭൂതിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഃ പ്രവീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാദ് ഭാരതപങ്കജക്കലിമല പ്രധുംസിനശ്രേയസേ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാവരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്വന്നി ദിവ്യൈ സവൈർവേദൈ സാംഗപദൈ ക്രമോപനിഷദൈർഗായന്തിയം സാമഗാഃ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിതദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തിയം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ. സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. കൃഷ്ണ സെറ്റു അർജുന തേഷാം ഏവാനുകമ്പാർത്ഥം അഹം അജ്ഞാനജം തമാ നാശയാമി ആത്മഭാവസ്ഥോ ജ്ഞാനദീപേന ഭാസ്വത. ഹി മെൻഷൻഡ് ദാറ്റ് ദി ഡ്യൂ ടു ഭക്തി ഭക്തിപ്രസാദേന bhakti and means love for Krishna. Through bhakti and love, and that is considered to be the oil in the lamp. And madbhava abhinivesha vadheridena, the madbhavam, because of that bhavam inside, Arjuna's bhavam inside, due to that that bhavam is the wind that is blowing the bhakti up. Bhakti means the love for Krishna and the respect, adarav, bahumanam. That is that bhakti, devotion means, and the love. And that bhavam is increase by the wind. When the bhavam increases, the wind increases, which makes this oil in the lamp, where there is, due to the sadhana, what he has done, brahmacharyam and all that, due to that sadhana, his prajna, awareness has got better. That's what's saying here. Brahmacharyadi sadhana samskaravat prajna vartina virakta andaha, and because of the vairagyam inside, he has become free from sense enjoyment, vairagyam, and virakanda karana dharena vishaya vyavrta chitta raga dvesha kalishidam nivadava varagastena. The vayu or air, which is normally polluted by raga dvesham, attachment and aversion, and blocking that vayu, and this aigagrya dhyana janita samyak darshanam, due to this samyak darshanam, equal visions, if that lamp is lighted, then it will not get extinguished anymore. In other words, tesham evam anukam, if all these things comes together, tesham evam anukam bartham, that aham ajnanajam tama nashayami atma bhavasto jnana divena bhavasvada. Bhakti or adarava bhumanam, devotion, love, that is the oil. And the wind that is keeping it going is the bhavam inside. Brahmachari, sadhana and all other things has purified him. And that is his prajna, which is the wick in the lamp. Then, due to detachment from the world, vairagyam inside, he has become free from attachment to sense gratification. And when you become free from sense gratification, that brings down your ragadvesham inside. This ragadvesham in a person, how it is understood is that he or she has attachment for sense gratification. It is due to sense gratification only ragadvesham grows inside. So, normally wind is affected by that ragadvesham. And that is blocked by the, because he has become free from sense enjoyment. And then the samyak darshanam, samachittada inside, that lamp, once it is lighted inside, the lamp of equal vision, which is the normal state of the realized soul, when that is lighted inside, then that lamp will never be extinguished. That's what this verse is talking about. This is Acharya Swamiji's Bhashyam on that. Bhakti prasada sneham abhishiktena malbhava abhinivesha vadiridena brahmacharyadi sadhanam samskaravat prajnavartina viraktandam karuna karanadharena vishaya vyavata chittaraga dvesha kalishidam nivada apavaragastena nitya pravrti ekagra dhyanam janidam samyak darshana bhasvadam sthanadipena ityartha. After saying that, Arjuna asked Krishna, Param Brahma, Param Dhamam, Pavitra Paramam Bhavan, Purusham Shashvatam Divyam, Adidevam Ajam Vibhum. So, Arjuna said to Krishna that you are Paramam Atma, Param Brahma, Param Dhamam, and you were here before everybody else, and you are not subjected to birth or death, you are present everywhere. Ajam Vibhum. Then, when he said that, Arjuna actually, Krishna asked, then where did you get all this from? Arjuna said, I heard this from Asida, Narada, Devala, Vyasa. The four rishis he quoted. And he also said that, ordinary people, how will they know, get to know about Krishna? Because people who have realized the self, who have reached that state, only based on their words, we are going in spiritual life, is it not? We don't know Krishna. So what are we dependent on then? We are dependent on the words of the Mahalmas, great personalities like acharyas, great devotees, Mahalmas. It is based on their words that we are following them, in other words, following their footsteps, right? And we are that they are our pramana, they are our authority. Our authority is these great devotees and yanis and yogis and mahalmas and all the great personalities, right? Rishis, all of them. So Vedam also says the same thing. Brahmavadino vadandi, it says, right? Brahmavadis are saying this, he says. That means those who have known this and who have experienced it, they are saying this, right? Whether I know it or not is not important. Whether I know it or not is not important, right? Those who have given us this knowledge, they're called Mantra Drashta, right? Or the Rishis, they are the authority, not me or any of us. Because the difference between them and us is, they won't make mistakes. They won't make any mistakes, right? And they have spoken this. They have come about this tendency to commit mistakes. We may commit mistakes, but they won't commit mistakes, and therefore we accept their authority. So that is what this verse is, Arjuna's verse. Ahustam hrishaya sarve devarshi naradastada asito devalo vyasa soyam chaiva bravishime. That they have all said that, and that's enough for me, Arjuna says. They have spoken like this, and that's enough for me, because they don't make mistakes. I may make mistakes, Arjuna is saying, but they don't make mistakes. See the respect for the Rishi Parambara. This has to be there in our heart. When it is not there, then you are coming like anybody else and start questioning everything. That's not going to help. That the Rishi Parambara who gave this knowledge to this world, being respectful to them, and that is a symptom of bhakti. Bhakti means being respectful to them. And then Arjuna also said that above everything else, Soyam Jaiva Bravishime, you are also saying the same thing. Krishna is also saying the same thing. Arjuna is saying that. It is not flattery. Flattery is allowed for Krishna. You may think, oh, Krishna is flattering himself. No, flattery is allowed for him, right? That is why in the Vishnu Sahasranam also it says Stava Priya, that if you perform stotram and glorify him, Stuti, he loves that, Stava Priya, right? And it is allowed, glorifying himself, others glorifying him, is allowed for him. Yanis, realized souls, they will say sometimes, I am perfect in everything, because everyone likes to be glorified in this world, even a dog. If your dog comes, if you pat the dog and appreciate him, he feels happy. Immediately it will do its wag its tail, right? So everybody likes glorifications. Krishna also likes glorifications. And we may say, oh, I don't like being glorified. But if you say that, oh, he doesn't like being glorified, When you say like that, it makes him happy. Makes him happy. So, if you don't want to get affected by glorification, and if you have only this concept inside, that whatever glorification is made for the Antaryami inside. It's not for you. When somebody is glorifying you, if you are able to accept it that way, that this glorification goes to Antaryami, not to me, then it won't affect you. Otherwise it will affect you, if you are glorified. But that you have to have that vision inside, that all glorification is for Antaryami in this world. That is why it said that glorifying Krishna is not a wrong thing. Because Krishna is Antaryami of everybody. So if you are glorifying anyone, actually you are glorifying Krishna, Antaryami inside. But if the person mistakenly think that it is glorification of that jiva inside, then it becomes a problem. So one rishi, there is a story about that, his devotees were glorifying him. So he also joined them in glorifications. So they all got shocked that they were glorifying him, and he also joined glorifying them, glorifying him with them. So later on, then they asked him, he said, why not? Because all glories are for the Antaryami inside. So whether it is in me or in you or in anybody else, what does it matter? Glorification is allowed as long as you are aware that this all the glorification is for Krishna, Antaryami inside. With that awareness, you can receive glorification or you can glorify yourself, no harm, because you are glorifying the Antaryami inside in that way. So, in Maharshi's case, this happened once that somebody spat at him on his face deliberately due to envy. This happens in spiritual life all the time. Mutual envy is quite normal among people. And that envy will come out in different ways, right? So, then the devotees asked him that, what did you do when he spat at you? He said, I just wiped it off because you are offending, insulting people or abusing others or expressing your hate or envy. It's all towards the body. You can't do that with the Antaryami. Even those who are doing it, expressing their hate, anger or jealousy or things like that, is all towards the Antaryami, towards the body. Because it is with the body in the mind, that form, that they are insulting. When they see a form, they get affected and then they insult them, right? So, so Mahatma's life, if you look, you will see this again and again, this kind of incidents happening. I mentioned Eganath Swami's case when somebody spat at him. Realized people, they won't get affected. Ordinary people get affected. So, Paramahamsa's life, there was this Naga Mahashaya. He asked him once that, Paramahamsa asked him, the Naga Mahashaya, what are you thinking about? Mahashaya said that you are actually an incarnation of Krishna, yourself, right? And when he said that, Paramahamsa went into a samadhi state. It is like giving the Tattvamasi Upadesham. You are Sadvastu, that you are that Antaryami inside, and releasing you from your bodily identity. So when Mahalpas are glorified like that, inside they are thinking that I have nothing to do with this body. Body is being glorified, not me. I am in connection with the Antaryami inside. So, Ramadas Swami from Kanyanad Ashram, Lalita Devi, he had a devotee like that. He asked her, what do you think of Ramdas? He said to her, what do you think of Ramdas? And Lalita Devi, she said, people think of you as God, because he was a great soul, this Ramadas, right? And he stayed in that samadhi state at that time when she said that. Because when she said that, that words have gone directly to the self rather than to the body. Normally people, we are in the bodily concept of life. When somebody glorifies you, you think, oh, I am great because you have glorified me. And that me whom you are referring to is the body, not the Antaryami. But here, Ramadas knew it is being spoken about the Antaryami inside, which is Purna Vastu. Krishna can be glorified because he is Purna Vastu, perfect. Right? So, Krishna is Sotra Priya, Stuti Priya, right? And therefore, when Krishna speaks like that, Stuti Priya, or Sotra Priyam, or Arjuna said like that, Soyam Jaiva Bravishime, it's not wrong, because he is Antaryami of everyone. That's the reason why it is said like that. Ahu Soyam Jaiva Bravishime, Kathayanditvam Krishayo Vasishtaha Adayaha Sarve Devarshi Naradaha Tata Asitaha Devalaha Abhi Eva Evam Vyasaha Cha Soyam Cha Eva Bravishime. Finally, you are also saying that, says Arjuna. You are also saying that, yeah? Swayam Jaiva Praveshime, he said. Then, if it is all like that, is it Arthavadam then? Can it be Arthavadam, yeah? So he is saying for that, the next verse. Sarvam Edam Dhridam Manye Yenmam Vadasi Keshava Nahide Bhagavan Vyaktim Vidur Deva Nadaneva. Arjuna says that whatever I have heard is true. I believe it is true. Yeah. Whatever you speak, all that is truth. Is truth. And Sarvam Edad Yadhoktam Krishibihi Tvaya Cha Yad Hridam Satyam Eva Manye Yat Mam Pradivadasi Bhashase Keshava Nahi Te Tava Bhagavan Vyaktim Prabhavam Viduhu Na Deva Na Danava. Your personality, Krishna's personality, Devas do not know. Actually, it is difficult to understand Krishna. Who is Krishna? Asuras don't know. And human beings also don't know. And they are not able to know it properly. Because your Svabhavam is Nirubhadiyam. There is no Ubhadis in there. Then how will they know that? That is what Sarvam etadridam manye yenmam vadasi keshava nahi te bhagavan vyaktim vidur deva nadaneva. The reason for that is you are here before everybody. All others have come much later. All the rishis, all the human beings, asuras, devadas, they all came later. But you are existing before that. In other words, Brahman always existed. Then, Soyameva Alpana Alpmanam Vetatvam Purushottama Buddha Bhavana Bhudesha Deva Deva Jagatpade. Soyam Eva Alpmana Alpmanam Vetatvam Niradishaya Jnana Aishwarya Baladi Shakti Andam Ishwaram Purushottama Bhudani Bhavayati Iti Buddha Bhavana He Buddha Bhavana Bhudesha Bhudanam Ishahe Deva Deva Jagalpade. Who will know you? Only you know yourself. Nobody else knows you. Nobody else can know you. Right? Atma only knows Atma. Only Atma knows Atma. Nobody else knows Atma. Yeah? All the things in the world outside, objects, we get to know them through our senses. Yeah? And mind is in contact with the senses all the time. So, senses you get to know through the mind. Sense objects you get to know through the senses. And how does the mind know? With the help of buddhi. And in the absence of buddhi, what happens? We go to the state then called sushupti. For example, while we are in deep sleep, sushupti state, do we have knowledge in the sushupti? In deep sleep state, when buddhi is not working, and we don't have a dream either, complete deep sleep, in that state, there is no knowledge like what we bring from the world through the sense objects. Yeah, it's not there. So, what is happening then? You are not, now in the vacant state, you are seeing everything as different objects, is it not? Different objects we see here. But in Sushupti, you cannot know anything as an object. You don't know anything as an object, right? Only thing you have in Sushupti that you experience some bliss, anandam. Something you experienced, and how did you know that? Because it is not through buddhi you knew that. Here everything is happening through buddhi and the mind, in the vacant state. Everything is happening through buddhi and the mind. But in the deep sleep state, buddhi is not there, mind is not there, happiness is there, anandam is there, isn't it? So, and then when you wake up, you are saying, I didn't know anything, you say, like that. What has happened? That is your report on the Sushupti state, that what happened in the Sushupti, right? And everyone is experiencing that. You see, in the vacant state, your buddhi gives you the information. And on that basis, you are saying things, that this is the object, this is good, this is bad, all these things. Whereas in the deep sleep state, Sushupti, because buddhi is not there, you have nothing there to tell you anything. Only experience is there, anubhava, what you experienced in the Sushupti state. Yeah? So, that means that experience itself is your knowledge then. That is your knowledge, right? This is an important thing. This Sushupti is a very interesting thing. If you properly, in a peaceful way, analyze it. This Sushupti state, right? This Sushupti avastha. If you very carefully analyze it, you will see the beauty of Sushupti. Then you have to keep comparing Sushupti with the vacant state all the time. In vacant state, all your senses, mind, buddhi, everything is working. And this is one way of experiencing the world through these things, mind, senses, buddhi, everything, right? Senses, sense of, and that's the way we are experiencing the world. So the way we are experiencing in the vacant state is one method, through buddhi, mind, senses and everything. This method will not work in Sushupti. It will not work in Sushupti. Because they are not there to experience the world, to report. None of them are there. They are all gone in Sushupti. But then when you come up in the morning, when you wake up, you are saying that something was there which I enjoyed well. That is the deep sleep, Sushupti state. Yeah. So Sushupti, where did that come from then? Whereas in the vacant state, buddhi was there, the mind was there. So we had those tools. Those are the tools, mind, intelligence. These are all the tools which you are enjoying or suffering in the vacant state. But in the Sushupti state, they have all gone. None of them there. But still you are saying that it was wonderful. Without all these tools, you are saying it was wonderful. Right? So, this is, and we don't think further than that. How did that happen? That is because of our nature. We are thinking vacant state is only real state. And we live on that understanding, is it not? Only thinking about the vacant state. So, this is a subject in Upanishads and also in Yanamargam, they take this very seriously, this Sushupti state. What has happened in Sushupti? If you ask a question, do you have the knowledge? How did that knowledge come? And how did you experience it without these tools? Normally you get to know through these tools only, like mind, intelligence and all that. How come in Sushupti, without all these tools, you are able to say it was good, that Sushupti state experience was good? That means that knowledge was there. So the knowledge state, without these tools, is it not? Buddhi, manasa, mind, intelligence, senses, ego, none of them were there, right? Body was not there, the world was not there, but only the experience was there of this bliss of Sushupti, right? So, nirvishesham, that was the situation. Then, nirvishesham means none of these were there, and you are experiencing it, right? Then you woke up to the vacant state, and then buddhi comes after that, right? And then with the buddhi you start thinking and questioning, answers, all these things comes after that, right? So, that is what he is going to say here, that the who knew whom, he is answering here. Soyamevalpanalpmanam, next verse, you see. Soyamevalpanalpmanam vetatvam purushottama bhuda bhavana bhudesha deva deva jagatpade. Arjuna is saying that Soyam Alpanam Alpanam Vetatvam Purushottama, in that you know yourself who you are, means what we are experiencing in the Sushupti stage. You have to get this, to think about this. Yeah, Soyam Alpanam Alpanam, you are Bodham, pure Bodham you are. You don't require the help of anything else to know you. Soyam Alpanam Alpanam. What we are experiencing in Sushupti is that. Knowing ourselves by ourselves without the support of anything else. You see, in the vacant state to know things, you require all these tools. Buddhi, mind, senses, ahangaram, everything is involved in that, is it not? All things are involved. Senses are involved. Buddhi is involved. Mind is involved. Ahangaram is involved. Everything is involved in knowing things in the vacant state. In the deep sleep state, you are knowing without the help of anything, but you are knowing it. That means you have become the knowledge itself. You are that knowledge, that I am existing, that awareness. You become that. You don't have a separate existence. You become that awareness. When you become awareness, what happens? It's already there in you then. Nothing has to come from outside. And that's what that means. Soyam Alpanam Alpanam. You are knowing it yourself who you are. Without the help of any external external tools like buddhi, mind, senses, none of them is required for that. Soyam Alpanam, because you are becoming that in Sushupti. You are becoming that and knowing that way. When you become that, then you know what it is. So that's what is happening. You becoming that, one with the Soyam Alpanam Alpanam, he's saying that. So, Soyam Eva Alpana Alpanam Vetatvam നിരതിശയ ജ്ഞാന ഐശ്വര്യ ബലാദി ശക്തി മന്ദം ഈശ്വരം പുരുഷോത്തമ ഭൂതാനി ഭാവയതി ഇതി ഭൂതഭാവന. ബിക്കോസ് ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് ലൈക്ക് ദാറ്റ് യു ഹാവ് എക്സിസ്റ്റഡ് ആസ് യുവർ സെൽഫ്, യു എക്സിസ്റ്റഡ് ആസ് യുവർ സെൽഫ്. സോ ബിഫോർ ക്രിയേഷൻ ഹാപ്പൻഡ് വാട്ട് വാസ് ദ സ്റ്റേറ്റ്? That state is called Sushupti. That state is Sushupti actually. Before creation happened, that state is Sushupti, right? So that means Brahman stayed like that, as himself, knowing himself in awareness, pure bodham, without affected by anything. That is Sushupti stage, right? That means Upadhis are not there. All Upadhis have gone. And then situation is called Atmana Atmanam Vetha, he says. Swayam Eva Atman Atmanam Vetha. Atmana Atmanam Vetha. You are remaining as you are, in your pure state, without all these things. These are all imposed by Maya on us. The body, the mind, the senses, Ahangaram, Buddhi, everything is coming from Maya. And it created this form and then we trapped into that. And that is how we are knowing things. So this modern science, education and all is based on this thing. That means you are using the tools given by Maya and you are studying Maya with that. By the tools what Maya has given. And that way itself Maya has trapped us. And therefore our knowledge is never perfect. Whatever we are developing, this so-called knowledge, can never be perfect. Because Maya has given these tools and Maya and making us to study that with those tools, Maya. So this is our research and experiments and everything. It all becomes meaningless. You will never get to know the truth in this way. Arjuna is saying here, Swayam evalpman altmanam vetha. That tvam. You are like that, he said. Swayam evalpman altmanam vetham tvam. Purusharshabha. He says, you know, you are always in your original state as Atma. That Atma, stage of Atma, pure consciousness in that, right? And so that state is Nirvishesha Brahmam, Brahmam state, when not affected by anything. Upadhi Sambandham is not there. No Upadhis. Atmana Atmanam Veto. Because that is the state where, when we are saying the word Krishna to address that consciousness, pure state, right? And at that stage, separated from him, nothing exists. He only exists, pure consciousness, right? That means it is in the most subtle stage, right? At that stage, there is nothing else exists separately from him to be administered or managed. And he is in his pure state, and Buddha Bhavana Bhudesha. Then how did all others come then? Others came Bhavana, through his Bhavana, his imagination. He imagined like that. In his Bhavana, imagination, all others have come. When he wanted, all others came. And he entered into them. And that is how all the other living entities have come. All the other living entities have come. So, this, if you compare, this has to be understood with the dream state. In dream, we go into dream, and same Antaryami is able to create everything in the dream without their physical presence. Isn't it? Think all these things very carefully, because this will strengthen your understanding of Vedantam. Otherwise, you won't understand. Just reciting verses is useless. The understanding behind it, the concept behind that, yeah, to make us aware that Swayam, he says, Swayam evalpana altmanam vetatvam purushottama bhuda bhavana bhudesha deva deva jagatpade. These bhudams have come from you, but you alone exist actually. You are the source of everything. Others have come, they will go also one day. They don't have permanent existence. Whereas you have permanent existence, the source of everything. Yeah. And what happened? Like we do in dream state. Dream, what happens? All our body has gone. Body is lying there. You are dreaming, right? And in the dream, Antaryami is there. And Antaryami creates one whole scenario there in the dream. All people there, all of activities going on. And it is not happening like the way it's happening in the vacant state, but everything is happening in the dream also. So this shows the power of that Antaryami, that it can create like this. Without we being there, like the way we are now, without our presence, he can create us in the dream state, all of us. We will be like the robots there in the dream, moving around. He is able to do that. Without our physical presence, he is able to create us in the dream state. He is able to do that, is it not? So in the same way, in the Sushupti state, he can exist himself without any of us, with any of our so-called paraphernalia of this gross body, mind, senses, ego, ahankaram, buddhi, none of them is required. He can exist on his own. And that state is calling here, Swayam Evatman Atmanam. He is able to stay within himself. Vetatvam Purushottama Buddha Bhavana Bhudesha Deva Deva Jagatpade. All the other things have come from later from you. We are not that permanent ones. We have all come from him later. So, how did that happen? Buddha Bhavana, through Bhavana. He created, Bhavana means imagination, all other living entities have come, and then he entered into it. Entered into it means that he is present in them, therefore they have got life. That's what we are. We are all those ones which has come like that. Buddha Bhavana Bhudesha Deva Deva Jagatpade. So, Niruktani Niruktamcha Nilayani Nilayani Anilayanamcha. These are all the way it is spoken in the Upanishads, right? Creation happens, and then everything in creation, whether it is logical or not logical, or whether it exists or not, ignorance and knowledge, lie, truth and lie, everything he has become. That knowledge has become, Antaryami has become like that. So, when Krishna has taken, we are addressing this truth by name Krishna. That's the way to understand that. That truth is addressed as Krishna, that's all. And when he took all these different forms and comes here, Arjuna is asking, you have taken in all these different forms and come to this world. Which forms should I take shelter? And Arjuna is asking that question, right? Everything is you only. Actually, everything is you. But out of these different forms what you have taken, which forms should I take shelter? He's asking. In other words, and that is where the Vaktu Marhasya Asheshena Divya Atma Vibhudaya Yabhur Vibhudibhir Loga Nimam Swam Vyapyadrishtasi. And your vibhuti, you are present in everything and everywhere. And all your vibhutis are very divine. So, please explain to me, he says, out of that, which one should I take shelter? Which one I should take shelter, right? So, he says to him that the... to understand what Arjuna is saying here. Yeah. He is saying that, say, a drama goes on. A drama is happening, right? Somebody wrote the script for the drama. And he imagined in his mind what the script should be, what the drama is going to be about. That's how the drama writers, they write the script, right? And he decides what should be the major players in the role of the different players in the drama. And he decided to play the role of the main person in the drama, send it around somebody. He decided himself to play that role, right? And sometimes when he is not playing that role, he may do some other roles as well in the drama. It depends on the drama, number of characters, and he decides all that, right? When we see these different roles, we start thinking that the same person has come like that, right? And many dramas, you won't know him when he is dressed up in the drama. You won't know the person. He is dressed up. Like in Kathakali, it is normal like that. You won't know who is playing the role. You have to find out later who played that role, Krishna's role, Ramachandra's role, Rukmini's role, or Sudama's role. All these roles comes in Kathakali, right? But if you see when he dressed, you won't know who it is, who is playing that role, right? So, in the long ago, there was some famous cartoonists in India. There were two brothers were there. The elder brother was a great novelist. The younger brother was a great cartoonist. This is before all this television and all others come, right? At that time there was no television, telephone, only newspapers. So newspapers normally published some cartoon. And the leading newspapers, Times of India, Hindustan Times and all, they will always publish his cartoons. R.K. Lakshman, that was his name. And he had a brother by name R.K. Narayan. R.K. Narayan was a big novelist, famous novelist. And R.K. Lakshman was his brother, right, younger brother. So this R.K. Lakshman used to draw cartoons very nicely. And it will be so much criticized in the government, making, you know, kind of a joke about it, various things. So tourists used to come to India from abroad. This is right after independence, those years. When nowadays a lot of people come, but in them days, not many tourists came. India just got the independence and India was going through a situation that the tourism industry has not developed so much. So in order to draw the tourists to the country, the tourism department will organize different programs for the tourists, free, to entertain them, so that they come again, to give them an impression of the country to them. Yeah. So when tourists come in the aeroplane and when they land in Delhi airport, what this tourism department did was, they dressed up people with these different folk dances and different artists playing in the different kinds of temple arts, Kathakali, then Odisha dance, and Manipuri dance, all different kinds of artists. They dressed up like that. And they were all presented to the tourists when they landed in the aeroplane, right? And when they saw all these things, they got frightened. They thought, is all the people are like this here? Because this is when we're standing there. They got a shock of that, right? So, in the same way, Arjuna is saying to Krishna, I'm seeing all these kinds of dresses in this world, right? But some of them are very special, but some of them are not very special either, right? And so therefore, you have taken all these forms like this. Which one do I have to take notice of seriously, right? And through your sankalpam, your power of sankalpam, and your desires that all these forms have come in this world, and how do I understand them? Which one is worshipable? Which one should I take seriously? Sri Shukha Brahmarshi mentioned this in the Bhagavatam in a different way. If you look into 11th canto, in the 11th chapter, he is saying there that the 29th verse, 11:11:29, Tum Brahm, in the same way what Arjuna is saying here, Uddhava is saying there, the same thing. Tum Brahma Paramam Vyomam Purusha Prakrite Param Avatirnosi Bhagavan Svechobhata Pradak Vabhu. Svechobhata Pradak Vabhu means one who takes a form according to his wish. Svechobhata Pratak Vabhu. Vabhu means body. One who takes different forms according to one's taste, one's liking. Whatever he likes, he can take that form. That kind of thing. Yeah. Tum Brahma Paramam Vyomam Purusha Prakrite Para Avadirnosi Bhagavan Svechobhata Pratak Vabhu. Svechobhata Pratak Vabhu. That's the important word. Right? And he himself comes. These are all incarnations of what he has taken. That Brahman, Satchidananda Brahman, has taken all these different forms and came in front of us at different times in different forms. Malsyam, Kurmam, Varaham, Narasimham, Vamanam, Balaram. All these are different forms that Brahman has taken at different times. Right? So, and they are all special manifestations through Brahman, Sangalpam, and the desire. Without that, that is what he has come like that, with these incarnations. All incarnations have come out of Sangalpam and with this some 10 desires and things like that. And but there is so many manifestations here. So Arjuna is asking, this is a total mess, all the top forms that has come. And from this mess, what should I pick up from that? Out of this whole mess, what has been created? In other words, Arjuna is saying, you have become all these living entities and you have gone into all of them. And then you are coming in different forms also. Svechobhata Pratak Vabhu. Different, accepting different forms and coming here. And there is so many names and forms here. Which one should I take seriously? Which one should I worship? That way, Arjuna asks that question, right? So, that what that question meant was, where should I see you seriously, Vibhuti? That's what it is pointing at. Where should I perceive you or notice you seriously in this whole creation? Because you have taken so many forms and so many incarnations have come. Svechobhata Pratak Vabhu, you are accepting all these forms. And in all those forms you have entered, you are present in everybody. So which one is more serious, that will help me to develop my bhakti, to develop my devotion. Keeping that in mind, Arjuna asked that question, right? That's how that verse has come. Katam vidyamaham yogi, tvam tvam parichindayan, keshu keshu ja bhaveshu, keshu keshu ja bhaveshu, chindyosi bhagavan maya. Make that clearer to me, he said. In which bhavam, dhyanam, I should think about more, and in which bhavam should I meditate upon you. Katham vidyam vijaniyam, aham he yogin, tvam, sada parichindayan, keshu keshu ja bhaveshu, vastushu chindya, asi dhyaya, asi bhagavan maya. Because I am always thinking about you. But how do I know you? How do I relate with you? Because you are coming in all these different forms in this world. Incarnations are coming and then you are expanded in all these different forms, entered into all of them. Where do I see you and how should I see you then? Right? Vistar enalpano yogam vibhudim cha janardhana Bhuya Kadaya Traptarhi Shrunodo Nasime Amrutam. So Arjuna said that you can see Krishna call him Kadam Vidyamaham Yogi. Krishna calls Arjuna as Yogi, right? Because yogis do the creation. Yogis have got the power of creation, right? They can create the world in different kinds of world. Yogis can create. There is that story of Vishwamitra creating a planetary system himself. He has created for Trishangu in between the heavenly planets and the earthly planet. Right? That story is there in the Purana. Vishwamitra, so he is a yogi. He has got the power to create, right? In Dakshinamurti Stotram also, it's mentioned, Mahayogi, Svechaya. So Krishna's another name is Yogi, who is capable of creating, capable of creation, right? So Arjuna says, how should I perform the upasana and get to know you that way, right? And which are keshu keshu ja bhaveshu, in which bhavam I should perform this upasana in such a way your vibhudis explain that to me, said. Explain that to me. At that time, he said, Vistarena alpano yogam vibhudim ja janardana bhuya kathaya traktarhi shurnado nasti me amrutam. How your yogam, aishwaryam, shakti, all these things, how do I meditate upon? How should I do that? Ardhedai gadi karmano rupam asuranam deva pradivaksha bhudanam jananam naragadigamaityutva janardana abhyudayam nishrayasam purushata prayojanam sarvai janayachade diva. So, Krishna, there, Visharen Alpano Yogam Vibhudim Cha Janardana says, right? Janardana, he says to Krishna, that I need to know this in detail. Visharana. Visharana means in detail. I need to know that. So, tell me about all your Vibhudis in detail. And I am not satisfied if you say this in summary. I need to be know this in detail. Right? That's what he said, Amrutam. Yeah. So, this is how Vibhuti Yogam begins properly. In the sense, now, right now, up to this point is the main part of the Vibhuti Yogam. From now on, Krishna is going to talk about the Vibhuti Yogam. He will say, how you should see me in this world. Yeah. So, the topic in this chapter is Vibhuti Yoga. And Krishna gave earlier another name for this. Avigamba Yoga. Earlier, he called it as Avigamba Yoga. Right? Avigamba Yoga means there is no movement, no vigambanam. Avigambanam means no vigamba. Vigamba means movement of the mind. Right? Yoga prabhavanyayo means yogasthiti, yoga state, it is difficult to get that yoga state where you are firmly established without movement inside. Yeah. Sometimes it comes, it goes. All yoga processes have got that problem. It comes, it goes. People always complain, sometimes I feel bhakti, but then bhakti goes. All yoga process got this problem. Bhakti comes and bhakti goes. It doesn't stay. You have seen state with Akrura and all that. How they suffered due to that. At some point in time, Akrura was a great devotee. Another point, he was running away from Krishna. To Kashi he went, did he not? So, many devotees have to go through this. Bhakti also has got this difficulty. That it comes and then it goes, right? So, normally they will say, the difference between knowledge and bhakti is that. In bhakti, jnanam, if we have realized it properly and established, you will never lose it. Once for all, it's finished then. You have realized who you are, self-realization, properly happened. Initially there will be fluctuations, but finally when you get fully established in the self, that is why mukti hi tanyada rupam surubena vyavasthiti. That is a proper mukti. When you get established in the self, surubena vyavasthiti, right? This won't happen. So that realization is not a state of the mind. It's nothing to do with the mind. It's not a state, in other words. It's not a state. You become that. The antaryami. So, but our problem is that we are not able to stay in that state. We completely get thrown out from that. Sometimes you experience, but then sometimes you become displaced from there, right? So, when Ishopanishad says, Ishavasyam idam sarvam, when you have to cover everything with Ishvara, Ishavasyam idam sarvam, when it's like, what it means is that, they are saying that you should cover everything with Ishvara. In other words, what does it mean? It means you have to know that everything is Sachidananda Brahman, Ishvara. That's what it means. When you say Ishavasyam idam sarvam means, what actually it implies is that everything is Brahman, everything is Ishvara. Ishavasyam idam sarvam. Everything is Ishvara. That realization has to come. That's what it means when you say cover everything with Ishvara. So, at this point in time, we have a realization, a Brahman inside us, right? This is all not Ishvara. This is world separate, right? Ishvara is somewhere else. This is the Brahman what we have now. We are saying this is world creation, right? Our vision, drishti, is saying this to us. Upanishad is saying this whole thing is Ishvara. In our vision, this is creation, srishti. Upanishad is saying this is all Ishvara. This is our present situation, isn't it? We are seeing the world and we think this is the world, creation. Ishvara is somewhere else. Upanishad is saying this world is Ishvara. So, this real swarupam of this creation is Ishvara. And Upanishad is saying, you are calling this is world, creation, and that's false. This is Upanishad is telling us. Yeah? And we are saying, no, this is true. Ishvara we don't know who it is. Probably Ishvara is mithya. That's how most of the people argue, isn't it? Atheists or argue on that basis. World is real for them. Ishvara is mithya. Upanishads are saying, Ishvara is satyam, jagat is mithya. Completely 180 degrees opposite. You see? 180 degrees opposite, right? So, Ishvara means Bhagavan or Brahman, whichever way you address that, right? Why is it like this? This is, Upanishads are saying, because you have avidya, you are not able to see this as Ishvara. This is Upanishad's point of view. The atheists or who believe this world is real and Ishvara is imaginary, they are saying like that. Atheistic people, they argue on that basis. It's not. They say the world is real and they'll say, when you come to the real world, they'll say like that, don't they? In the real world, they'll say all the time. That means this world is real for them. The other thing is not real. Well, you can talk all this philosophy, but when you come to the real world, they will say. That's how they argue about it, right? So, Upanishads are saying that your vision is different, our vision is different. Upanishads are saying, this is Ishvara, creation doesn't exist, creation is Ishvara. We are saying, creation is real, Ishvara is imaginary. Upanishad is saying, Ishvara is real, creation is imaginary. Totally opposite views, right? And Upanishads are saying, the reason for that is, your vision is with the avidya. Avidya is in you, therefore your vision is faulty. It's not right, right? Drishtim jnanamayim krutva pashyam brahmamayim jagat. When your drishti, vision, is filled with vidya, your vision will be perfect. This is the statement in the Upanishad. Drishtim jnanamayim krutva pashyam brahmamayim jagat. Right? So, if your drishti is with knowledge, jnanamayim, then jagat will become brahmamayam. So, how to make this drishti jnanamayam? Drishti means what? Drishti means, how do we see this world now? With the eye, is it not? With the eye you see this world. But actually, is the eye seeing it? Eye is not seeing it. right? And mind goes through the eye and sees the world. In fact, it is seen in the mind. Mind is the one who is seeing the world. But it goes through the senses. Senses brings it in and mind gets it. And mind is aware everything is happening from the world, what happens, right? So, so eyes are not seeing actually, the mind is seeing, right? But mind is only happening because of the help of the buddhi. Buddhi, senses, they bring it in and they give it to the mind, right? But mind is also not seeing. Mind is a dead thing, provided Antaryami is presenting in the mind. So actually Antaryami is seeing. Yeah. But we are not conscious of all these things. We are so outward looking nature that we does not understand that senses are working because behind that there is a mind. Mind is working because behind it there is a buddhi. Buddhi is also working because behind that there is the Antaryami. So Antaryami is doing everything through these agents called buddhi, mind, senses and everything. And world is coming in and Antaryami's presence is making all these things happen. Inside the mind, buddhi, everything. Right? So, that Antaryami inside, when through your cultivation of knowledge and meditation in this way, when you realize that Antaryami is behind everything, our vision has changed then. Then your vision has changed. And at that moment you realize that, that means, when you realize that you are not the body, when you realize you are that Antaryami and the bodily identification is gone, right? And this identification comes with the Antaryami, at that time you exist not in the body, you exist in Antaryami. And that time what happens? The Antaryami's qualities like Satachitta Anandam comes to you. You experience your existence, in other words, astitva. Astitva, that is the sat aspect, right? And then you also realize the chit aspect, bodham, comes to you. When you come, becomes Antaryami, when you become Antaryami. Up to this time, you are jiva. You are in the jiva level. When you use all in, using all these things, mind, intelligence, senses, you are using all ahankaram, everything. When you are using all that, you are as a jiva. But you have gone away from all that and through spiritual sadhana processes, bhakti sadhana or jnana sadhana, whichever way it is, you have become one with the Antaryami. What happened at that time? At that time you realize that you are Chaitanyam, bodham, awareness, right? When that happens inside, Krishna called that as Avigamba Yogam. Previously he mentioned that. So, when Krishna explained that Avigamba Yogam, when he spoke about that, when Krishna expanded on that, Arjuna glorified Krishna. And then he asked about the Vibhudis. That is how what we have seen so far. Right? So far we have seen that. And then Krishna, now he is saying, Vistarena Alpmano Yogam Vibhudinjam Janardhana Bhuya Kathaya Truptarhi Shrunudo Nastime Amrdam. Now Krishna, Arjuna is saying, I heard that, now you tell me about you in detail, right? Just like in the Bhagavadam, it says, Pipada Bhagavadam Rasam. Isn't it? Pipada Bhagavadam Rasam Alayam in the beginning, right? So, in the same way, not satisfied drinking this nectar, of Bhagavatam, right? So, so that's the same thing here. Said, Bhuya Kadaya Truptirhi, Shrunado Nasti Me Amrutam, right? In the Bhagavatam, you will see in the Shuka Brahmarshi, Parikshit also saying to Shuka Brahmarshi a similar thing. This is the nature of spiritual life. He is saying to him in the first canto, in the 12th verse, first canto, 18th chapter, 12th verse, if you look. Karmanyasmin anashwase dhuma dhumralpanam bhavan apaya yadi govindam pada palmasavam madhu. He says, pada palmasavam madhu. Karmanyasmin anashwase dhuma dhumralpanam bhavan apaya yadi govinda pada palmasavam madhu. The rishis are asking this. In the to Sutta, rishis are asking Sutta in Naimisharanyam. We are not satisfied. Tell us more. In the same way Arjuna is asking here. We want to know more. Yeah. There it was Shaunaka Rishi and others told Sutta Goswami. They saying, we have lived for a very long time in this world, right? But we are not satisfied by drinking this nectar of Krishna. Govinda Pada Palmasavam Madhu. Madhu means the nectar. We are drinking, we are not satisfied, even though we have lived here. And Dhuma Dhumralpanam Bhavan, Karmanyasmin Anashwase Dhuma Dhumralpanam Bhavan. In other words, through karmam, means karmakanda, referring to. The rishis were performing sacrifices there. And the smoke from that was suffocating them. But because sacrifice means a lot of smoke. Dhumralpanam Bhavan, apayedi Govinda, you have come to talk to us about Govinda Pada Padmasavam Madhu. That this nectar of Krishna, we want to hear more about it, right? So, and similar thing, like what Arjuna is saying here, you will find in Bhagavatam at different places. Shri Parikshit Maharshi, sorry, Parikshit Maharaj told Shuka Brahmarshi when he began 10th canto, Nivritta Tarshay Rubagiyamanam Bhav Aushadhi Chotra Manobhiramat Ka Uttama Shloka Gunanu Vadat Puman Virajeda Vinam Pashugnat. In the first chapter itself, 14th verse, 10th chapter, 10th canto. So, there you can see the same thing what Arjuna's mood here. There the rishis are talking to Sudha Goswami in the same way. And then Parishit is saying to them that Nuvritta Tarshay Rupagayamana, all desires have gone from inside. And Bhava Aushadhi Chotra Manobhiramad. When we start hearing about Krishna seriously, that's what happens. When you start hearing Krishna seriously, Bhaushadhi Chotram Anobhiramal, that it is like an aushadham. Aushadham for what? To free yourselves from the cycle of birth and death. Bhava means cycle of birth and death. Right? So this medicine, which is Bhagavadam, Krishna's pastimes about Krishna, Parishit said to Shuka Brahmarshi, if I drink this nectar, who will not drink this, he said, except animal killers. Puman virajyeda vina pashugna. They won't understand this. Killing animals and eating animals, they will never understand this science of bhakti. And you can see that in the world, right? So, nivritta tarshaya, all tarsha, trishna has gone, desires have gone away. And nirashishaha nirmamaha brahmana vidu. So, in Mahabharata, the symptoms of a brahmana is spoken, right? Who is a brahmana? The first qualification of brahmana is nirashisha. That means he has no desire. That is his first quality. No desires, right? And anarambaha, he won't get involved in karma like others. He is not into karmam so much. He doesn't like karmam. And he does not offer obeisances to anyone. And he is not glorifying anyone. And he is not tired of anything. Because karmam is exhausted for him. Because of his knowledge inside. And he is situated in the self, Atma. So, such a person who is as Almarama, one who is established in the self, Almarama, he says, Devaha Brahmano Vidu. They are addressed as Brahmana by the Devas, right? Devas call him as Brahmana. Brahmana is a concept, is very interesting that Brahma Janadi the Brahmana, one who knows Brahmam is Brahmana. It's not Brahmana one who has got a thread on. That's not how, that is a very watered down version of Brahmana. Proper Brahmana is one who knows Brahma and one who has these qualities in him. So, normally there is for certain types of cure for certain diseases. Like sometimes they use music as a cure. Music therapy they call it. You heard that, yeah? Music therapy for treatment for patients, right? And some people get cured by that, by hearing certain music, right? So, like bhajana is a music therapy, more or less. Kirtanam, you know, you see how people respond to it. They come and they show feeling their happiness and they forget all their suffering like that way. And when they come out, they feel a little bit peaceful inside. Music therapy. It's a kind of music therapy it is. There's nothing else happening there really. You're saying so many things and then people are feeling ecstatic and they dance and they express their emotions in different ways. It's not that they have realized the truth or anything. It's just that the music has made them feel good. Made them feel good because there's so much suffering outside. So when you get some relief from all that, you feel better, isn't it? So that is how all these big kirtan concerts and all, it's not that they all understood the truth, the absolute truth, and they are experiencing the absolute truth inside. It's like a therapy for them. Temporarily a relief from the sufferings of this world. Right. So, similarly, this disease of material existence or the cycle of birth and death, the disease, the medicine has to be taken through the ear, not through the mouth. For other diseases, you take the medicine through the mouth. But for this disease of cycle of birth and death, and this suffering material existence of birth, death, old age, disease, for that the medicine is to be taken through the ear. Shrotra manobhiramat. Bhavaushadi shrotra manobhiramat, says Parikshit. Shrotra manobhiramat. Bhattatri also said, netrai shrotraishya pitva paramarasa sudham bodhi bhure rameran. It said like that. So it has to be taken through the ear and then it has to be cultured, processed in the mind, and in that way it has to remove the avidya from inside, and that medicine is bhavaushadi chotra manobhirama ka uttama shloka gunanu vadad, right? Krishna's name is uttama shloka. Uttama shlokas qualities, you keep on talking about it. Keep on talking about Krishna. And that is what we saw before, Kadayandaschamam Nityam. We saw there, isn't it? Machitta Madgada Prana Bodayanda Parasparam Kadayandaschamam Nityam. That is that medicine. What has to be taken through the ear and to be processed in the mind and remove the avidya from the Chitta Shuddhi happens in that way. So, and Parikshit said, who will be satisfied with this? Nobody will be satisfied, right? And if he feels he is satisfied, then he is Pashuguna. He is a killer of the animals, right? means one who kills cows and all animals in that way. Very sinful people, right? So, bhakti has to come through katha shravanam. And so, therefore, it has to be spoken again and again and again. Pibada bhagavadam rasam Esam alayam muhuraho rasiga bhuvi bhavogaha. That verse in the first chapter itself, right? So, in the same way, pivada bhagavadam rasam alayam muhuraho bhuvi bhavogaha. In the same way, Arjuna is saying here, bhuya kathaya, he says, you see, vistaren alpmano yogam vibhudhyam cha janardhana bhuya kathaya. Truptrahi, keep saying this again, detail, more and more I want to hear, he says. He is hearing from Krishna directly, right? And it's coming from Krishna, Bhagavad Gita is coming from Krishna. So therefore Arjuna is saying, tell me again and again in detail about it. yeah, and Krishna has this quality, his nature, Krishna's nature. And towards Uddhava also, the same way Krishna speaks, like the way he spoke. And that is, if you look the next verse, Shri Bhagavan Uvacham Handade Kathayishyami Divya Halpa Vibhutaya Pradhanyada Kurushreshta Nastyando Vistarasyami. Shri Bhagavan Uvacham Handade Kathayishyami Divya Halpa Vibhutaya Pradhanyada Kuru Shreshta Nastyando Vistarasyame. If you look into Bhagavadam, when Krishna uses the same word, Handa. Yeah. If you look into the Ekadasha Skandam, you will see there Krishna is talking to Uddhava in the same way. Handade Kathayishyami Mama Dharman Sumangalan. So, same Handade Kathayishyami comes there. It is in the 29th chapter, 11:29:8. Same verse is coming, it begins. So, Krishna has this habit like this. When he wants to say to Arjuna and Uddhava, he will use that first. Handade Kathayishyami, Mama Dharman Sumangalan. Here he says, Handade Kathayishyami, Divya Halma Vibhodaya. That Handade Kathayishyami. He says, I'll tell you, Handa, that this is Krishna's way of saying. Like Krishna says sometimes, tasmad, in the same way. Certain way of saying, Krishna has a way of saying like that, yeah. You pick up certain people, they have got a certain way of expressing themselves. And Krishna has a way of saying like that. Handa de kadeshyami, right? So, mama dharman sumangalan. What that means is, Handa, how long have I been saying this? That's what Handa means. I have spoken so much. Anyway, I'll tell you still in that way. You know, when somebody asks a question, you have answered the question. Then he comes back and asks the same question. And then you will say the answer it. And then he comes back and asks the same question again. Then what will you say? Handa. Oh, hard enough, in that sense. Yeah. Handa de kadeshyami. I have said this so many times. So, it is in that mood, Krishna is saying this. Handa de kadeshyami, right? How long have I been talking about this? And about my vibhudis, I have spoken so many times. Because it is unlimited, first of all. And it is not possible to speak the whole thing. It is not possible, right? So, there is a verse about this in a nice way spoken. At one instance, all the devadas, they wanted to hear about Krishna's vibhuti. And so devas all together, they performed a sacrifice for that, a big sacrifice. And what they did was, this is the poetical way of saying, that they powdered all the hills and the mountains. And they made the, with that they prepared the ink for writing it. And the ocean is the pot. And they made this ink and Devadaru tree, big trees, using them as the ink pen, they started writing. And what was the paper? The leaves of the tree. And Bhumi Devi started writing on that for the sake of the devas, right? And so it is never completed. And writing is still going on. In other words, Krishna's glory is to understand the Krishna properly is not possible. You can say so many things about vibhutis of Krishna, but to fully understand, and someone who could say that, I can say everything about Krishna, it's not possible. Yeah. So, so there, they wrote Bhumi Devi, there's address as Sharada Devi there. Sharada is Brahma Vidya Surubini. Brahma Vidya, she is called as Sharada. When Brahma Vidya form she takes, Vedic knowledge, when it takes Brahma Vidya form, she is addressed as Sharada. Vaisharadi Sadhi Vishuddha Buddhi. That Vaisharadi Buddhi, that is called Sharada. Sharada word comes from that. So, so she says, uninterruptedly she is writing, but it is never completed. And similarly, Krishna is saying here, even if I start speaking, it will never come to an end, right? And this material world is only one quarter of the creation, right? So therefore, where is this going to end? Impossible. So therefore, Krishna is saying, I will tell you the important ones. Some of the important vibhutis, I'll tell you, because it's so unlimited. Handade kathayishyami divya alpa vibhudaya pradhanyada kurushrashta nasyando vistarasyame. Handa idanim te divyaha divi bhavaha atma vibhudaya atmano mama vibhudayo ya ta kathayishyami iti erat. Pradhanyado yatra yatra pradhanyada yaya vibhudi tam tam pradhanam pradhanyada kathayishyami aham. Kurushrashta asheshada to varsha shatena abhi na shakyavattum. Even if I talk about it 100 years, it's not going to finish. Yadona asti ando visarasame mama vibhudinam ityartaha. And my vibhudis are like that, Krishna is saying. Now, if you read this, you may start thinking, oh, Krishna is flattering himself. But that is the way it is. Krishna has got always the right to flatter. Krishna is allowed to flatter, but not anybody else. Right? So, that is what he said. There is no end to it, he said. So, when this Krishna, about Krishna, when you talk about Krishna, right? There is no end to it. Katha. And Krishna's qualities. And that is why different people are talking Srimad Bhagavatam for thousands of years in different ways. They talk about him, right? And every time when you see them, you say that, tell us Bhagavatam. And they have been hearing this for so long, still people are asking, I want to hear Bhagavatam, right? So, Krishna is saying here, Krishna says himself that I can't say everything about me. That is Krishna's position. So you can imagine the devotee situation then. So, one devotee from Andhra Pradesh, he came to see Ramana Maharshi and he told Ramana Maharshi that tell us more, he said. He just wanted him to hear from him, you know. So, Maharshi told him that, what do you want me to say? He said. So, if Krishna has this problem, Imagine devotees will have more difficulty, right? Krishna says, I can't stop it, right? But I will tell you some things, what will help you, right? So, vibhuti means, where his special presence is there. That's what vibhuti means. His special presence is there, right? Where you can tap his presence in a way, easily, compared to other places. Where his presence can be tapped easily compared to other places, right? And some special experience of Krishna in some form, right? And this is what all the people who are doing sadhana is looking for. Everybody says, I need some experience of Krishna's, some experience of Krishna in some form, right? Everybody wants some, what we call as anubhuti. That is what is called anubhuti. Anubhuti means some experience of Krishna inside that strengthens your spiritual life, isn't it? When you keep on performing sadhana, but you're not getting anything coming back from Krishna, it becomes very difficult after a while. So all devotees like some response from the other side in some little form to keep you going further, right? So, so from Vedantam position, to say like that is not proper. Why? That you will understand later. Because anubhuti, this is the problem, right? Vedantam and other bhakti processes. In bhakti, we say like this, something if I get some feedback from Krishna, in some form, you feel that something is working. My sadhana is not wasted. You feel some kind of connection with Krishna then, if you get something from outside. Vedantam says like this, that anubhuti is not to come from outside, it has to come from inside. Atmasvarupam. Anubhuti is atmasvarupam. It has to come from the soul, right? Anubhuti is always there in us, present in us. What we don't have is knowledge. Jnanam is not there, right? Anubhuti is already there. Antaryami is there. And Antaryami has got Satya Chitta Anandam. And then Anandam is the Anubhuti, what you are experiencing outside. So, our problem is that the Anubhuti, what is inside us, to recognize that Anubhuti, we require a certain type of intelligence. That means our intelligence has to be purified to some level. Only then it can recognize the Anubhuti of Antaryami's presence inside. This is the Vedantam path. Whereas an ordinary devotee's understanding will be like this, always. He'll be thinking, oh, if Krishna does something in my life to make me feel that he is doing something for me, for all what I am doing for him. In that way, the business-like nature will be there in anyone, any devotee. He'll be thinking like that. When he is doing something for Krishna, he'll be thinking, oh, if only if he becomes successful. Whether you are distributing books, whether you are preaching to make devotees, or whether whatever you are doing, there will be, you are looking for something, response from Krishna in some form. That is what normal people do, ordinary people. From people who are advanced in spiritual understanding, they don't look at it that way. They say, anubhuti is already there. I don't have the capacity or the good intelligence to recognize it. I don't have that. What I need is that knowledge that will purify my intelligence so that I can sense Krishna's presence inside. That's how Vedantam will see it. Yeah. Anubhuti is permanently there. Experience is there, right? Anubhuti is the surupam of Atma. Anubhuti, Swayam Prakasham, and in Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna called it as Nityanubhuti. Nijavurtam. It is in the verse, one of the verses, right? Kevala Anubhavananda Surupam. Kevalam Anubhavam Ananda Surupam. Is Atma. So that Anubhuti, that is Anubhuti. Kevala Anubhava Ananda Surupam is Anubhuti. That Anubhuti is already present inside us. It's not, it has to come from outside. And that is the next verse. You see that? Krishna is reminding us that. don't wait for anyone to come and give you this feeling that Krishna is responding to you. Take this understanding first in the next verse and realize that Anubhuti is already there, only you have to recognize it. And that means Aham Atma Gudakesha Sarvabhudashaya Sthidaha Aham Adishcha Madhyam Cha Bhudanam Andameva Cha Aham Atma Gudakesha Sarvabhudashaya Sthidaha Aham Adishcha Madhyam Cha Bhudanam Andameva Cha. One devotee asked Maharshi what is the most important verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Maharshi said, this is that verse, this verse. He says this is the important verse, right? Why? Because Krishna is talking about himself, who he is, right? He says, Gudaga. Gudagaya ish, it mentions here that Ajari Swamiji gives a good discussion about that. Aham Alma, Pratyagalma Gudakesha, Gudaga, Nidra, Tasya, Isho, Gudakesho, Jida, Nidraha, Ityartaha. Ghanakesha Idiva Sarvesham Bhudanam Ashaye Andarhridi Sthidaha Nityam Dhyayaha Tadashaktenacha Uttareshu Bhaveshu Chindyaha Aham Chindayidam Shakyo Yasmad Aham Eva Adihi Bhudanam Karanam Tadha Madhyamcha Sthidihi Andaha Pralayaha. So, what did he say? He says to him that the Gudakasha, Gudakesha, one who has one over sleep. Yeah. That story comes from Arjuna has one over sleep. When Arjuna had to fight with the Lord Shiva, when Pashupadastram was given to him, that he performed penances standing on one feet and performed penances. And that is how Lord Shiva was pleased with him and gave him Pashupatam, which Arjuna used in the war. Like Gandivam was given by Agni, and similarly Pashupatam was given by Lord Shiva, right? And for that, to get that Pashupadastram, Arjuna stood on one feet and performed penances, right? there, when this happened, there is a temple called Shri Shailam in Andhra Pradesh, and there he is at, Lord Shiva is called Malikarjuna Swami, Malikarjuna he is, right? So in that temple, Shri Shailam, that's where Arjuna performed these penances. Famous temple that is. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visits on his travel to the south. He goes to that temple, Malikarjuna temple, right? Acharya Swamiji wrote Shivananda Lahari in that temple. And 100 verses glorifying Lord Shiva in that temple. And that is Shivananda Lahari, right? And there is this famous verse, he says, Sandhya Arambha Vijrambidam Shruti Shira Sthanandaradishtitam Sa Prema Bhramarabhiramam Asakrat Sada Sadvasana Shobhidam Bhogindrabharanam Samasta Samana Pujyam Gunavishkritam Seve Shrigiri Malligarjuna Mahalingam Shivalingidam. A famous verse in that, in this Shivananda Lahari. There he is saying that there is this Malliga flowers there. And with that Arjuna offered worship to Shiva. That's how the name came. Malligarjuna temple, right? So he did that without sleeping. Arjuna did that without sleeping to please Lord Shiva. And therefore he got this name Gudakesha. Gudakesha. One who has got control over sleep, right? So, there is another verse also in meaning that what it says is that Gudaka. Gudaka means one who is capable of going inwards and able to inquire about the truth. One who has got good inward-looking nature. Arjuna had that. Good inward-looking nature. That means he won't talk unnecessarily things. He will think a lot before he speaks something. And also it is his nature that he won't try to impress others by saying something. What he will do when something is spoken, he will go deeply into it. Means he is able to understand things in a more subtle level. That capacity he has got. Gudaka, right? And he understands that. So, in order to know the Atma Tattva, knowledge of the soul, he has developed this habit of able to see in a sushmam level everything. The way we are not able to realize Krishna's presence inside us, Antaryami, is due to our avidya inside. That avidya is that tamogunam, comes to us in the form of sleep. Right? Sleep is a symptom of that tamogunam presence in us. And due to that we sleep. And because we are sleeping, Atmatattvam is not known to us, Atmavidya. Right? So Atmatattvam is covered due to sleep. That doesn't mean that if I go and sit there without sleeping, eventually I will fall asleep. I won't be able to. I have not learned the art of coming out of sleep properly. That is why. Right? So sleep is avaranam, cover. Is it not? Avarana shakti is sleep. One who has won over this avarana shakti is gudakesha. Gudakesha, right? Gudakesha aham atma. One who win over sleep, he is gudakesha. So the avidya inside us, called ajnanam, avidya, another name of that is called sleep. Is called sleep. Why? Because we have been given an opportunity for realizing the truth, not utilizing it for that, instead engaged in the body and looking after the body, maintaining the body, trying to find pleasure through the body. This shows our sleepy state. We are in ignorance. That ignorance is sleep, right? So, Gaudapada Acharya says this in Mandukya Upanishad. In his commentary, he mentions this, right? For several lifetimes, this jiva has been sleeping like this, right? In other words, our vacant state, actually, it's sleep. Our vacant state now, what we consider as vacant state, is actually sleep. Why is that? Because we think we are woken up, but we are not woken up to the truth. We are woken up to this Maya. That's what we are woken up. And in that Maya, we are busy with our senses, mind, everything. And we are thinking we are woken up. Actually, you are not woken up to the truth, it's saying. So, and this is compared to a long dream. Dream is shorter. But when you wake up from the dream to the vacant state, when you come back, you realize that the dream state was short and it is not real. You felt it. But this vacant state, what we are now, is also a dream. Only thing is, it lasts longer time. This vacant state, right? So, there he mentions anidram, aswapnam and all that. Proper vacant state, right? So, therefore, Atma is given a name anidram. One who doesn't sleep. Even though when your body is sleeping, he is not sleeping. Antaryami is not sleeping. The proof of that is your heart is ticking. That shows that he is not sleeping. Heartbeat doesn't stop during the sleep, is it not? So how is that? Because he is not sleeping. He keeps that going. Because of his presence, it works. It works. Even though we are sleeping, right? So even when you are sleeping, he is awake. He is awake, right? So, and when you wake up, what do you say? You say, I didn't know anything after the deep sleep, sushupti, right? So, when you are saying like that, that you didn't know anything what happened. That is called sleep. That's called sleep. So, when you are saying that you were happy at that time, that is not the sleep, that is spoken by the Atma. Atma is saying that. Yeah? That happiness has not come from the sleep actually, happiness has come from Atma. Right? And when you wake up, what do you say? You will say both. You will say, I didn't know anything, you say. And then you say, I was happy as well. Both. These two statements. Normally everybody makes it. When they wake up from a deep sleep, I didn't know anything what happened. You normally say like that, isn't it? And then you also say, it was so happy, I didn't know anything. This is the statement. I didn't know anything, but I was very happy. This way, right? So, saying, I didn't know anything, that is done by the sleep. That's done by the sleep. And one who said, I was very happy, I enjoyed it, that was spoken by the soul, Atma. Atma did that. Atma spoke that I was happy, and the sleep spoke that I didn't know anything. So this is the way to think about Sushupti. What all happens in Sushupti, right? And so that I didn't know anything, Arjuna didn't say, therefore you are said Gudakesha. Gudakesha, right? Gudakesha means one who has taken out that sleep from inside, that avidya from inside. So, because our Shraddha now has not gone into Sushupti, and we have not analyzed the Sushupti properly, never studied Sushupti, nobody takes interest in Sushupti. Most of the people have no interest in Sushupti. They want the Sushupti, but after that they just want to come back to vacant state because of the vasana. He comes to vacant state and wants to enjoy vacant state. But Sushupti has been kept there to make us understand that this body is not the source of any happiness. Actually, body is a source of misery. On the other hand, actual happiness, permanent happiness, which will not leave us, is coming from Antaryami. That lesson you can learn if you compare Sushupti and vacant state properly. And one has to do this oneself properly. Oneself should analyze all aspects of it and come to one own conclusion about it. This cannot be given to anybody. This has to come from by proper scrutiny of the deep sleep state and the vacant state. You should compare in all aspects and come to your own conclusions, which one looks more attractive, or which is more permanent, or which is real, and which is imaginary. So, this is understanding, right? So, because our Shraddha has not gone to Sushupti, we are not able to be like Arjuna. Arjuna is called Gudaka, right? So, Gudakesha. Gudakesha means that, you see, in sleep you have these two things, right? When you wake up you are saying, I didn't know anything and I enjoyed it, you say. Two statements are coming from you, everybody. So, I didn't know anything is coming from that sleepy part, the sleep side of it. And I enjoyed it is saying, is spoken by the Antaryami, Atma part of it. That's the way to understand the Sushupti, right? So, when your Shraddha goes there properly, then I didn't know anything, that coming from that avidya side, that avidya goes away when you understand it properly, when you realize it, right? And Arjuna has realized it. Therefore, he is called Gudakesha. This Gudakesha word has a lot of connotations to that, to understand it properly, right? That you go into the deep sleep state, and you are coming out these two statements. I didn't know anything, I really enjoyed it, the sleep. I had a good sleep, feel refreshed, everything looking fresh, right? So these two experiences you have. And in the morning when you wake up, you are saying this to everybody. But you are not thinking further after that. Why? Where did this come from? So if you keep that focused and realize that, that part has come from that avidya part, which is the avidya part, is that sleep which has made that statement, I didn't know anything. The atma side is that part which is coming from the knowledge which told you that Antaryami is there. Your experienced Antaryami is there. That is what, that Antaryami's experience is in the deep sleep in another form, saying that I enjoyed it. That's coming from the Antaryami inside. So if you analyze Sushupti like that, Gunagesha means one who has removed that ignorant part of it, that sleep part of it. Arjuna has removed that Antaryami from inside. So then if you remove that, what is left then? Ishvara only, Atma, right? Sarvajnyaha, Sarveshwaraha, Sarva Antaryami. In this way, Mundaka Upanishad says that. One who is able to know the Antaryami's presence inside, he is Gudakesha. In other words, one who has won over that ignorant side of that. Yeah. Anyada grahanam jagrat, agrahanam nidra. The problem in vacant state is, we have this problem called anyada grahanam. Anyada grahanam means not knowing the real thing, but something else you know and taking that as the real. Anyada grahanam, right? Jagrat. And sleep is agrahanam, not knowing anything, right? Agrahanam, agrahanam anyada grahana varjitam, chitsurupam, sushupti. Agrahanam jagrat, sopnam anyada grahanam. Many things you are seeing in the dream state. And so, suppose the rope example, rope and snake, right? If you didn't see the rope, it is called agrahanam, right? And if you see the snake in the rope, it's anyada grahanam. If you, since you didn't know the soul, Antaryami inside, that is agrahanam. But if you realize the body as the self, then anyada grahanam. These two words, agrahanam, anyada grahanam, important they are in analyzing all these things. See, the snope and the rope and the snake, right? You saw the rope, but if you didn't see the rope, it is called agrahanam. And if you see the snake in the rope, it is anyada grahanam. Anyada grahanam, right? And just like, if I don't know the soul, I am not conscious of the soul. That means agrahanam. But if I started identifying with the body, it is anyadagrahanam, anatma. This anatma, I am thinking I am that as the self. Anatma, I am thinking as atma means the self. So if you think anatma as atma, anatma as the self, that is anyadagrahanam. And not knowing atma is agrahanam. So this is why, this is an important thing in the Vedanta. Agrahanam, anyadagrahanam, right? So one who has become free from all these things, that is what that verse is talking about. Aham alpa gudakesha sarva bhuda shayastida. That Antaryami who is present in everyone, aham, 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 in all of us, right? And that is what makes us feel that we exist, that aham, right? That I exist. And that experience is continuous, is it not? That experience never leaves us, right? And that anibhuti, aham swarupam, right? Aham, aham, which is another way calls as the chit shakti. It comes from that. Satta, chitta, anandam. Bodham, awareness, aham. It's all same thing spoken, right? And everyone knows that, and that's the only thing existing. Other things don't exist. Body doesn't exist. Mind doesn't exist. Intelligence doesn't exist. Ahankaram doesn't exist. Senses doesn't exist. None of the other things in this package exist. They are all temporary things. The one thing that will always exist is this aham, inside aham. So, and that alone is permanent. That alone is permanent. For example, if you go into a dark room and if you sit there, you won't lose your aham, do you? You still exist. You don't have any doubt about your own existence, whether in the light or in the dark room, right? And even in the dream state, you exist, right? In Jagrat you are there, and in the dream also you are there. And in Sushupti also you are there, but you are not aware of that existence due to or sleep, avidya, right? Similarly, in childhood, boyhood, youthhood, old age, all you exist, right? And similarly, when you get depressed or when you get ecstasy, you are still there. You are existing still, right? Similarly, when you feel love towards someone or hate towards someone, you still exist. When you feel sleepy, you exist. That means behind everything what is happening, you, when you are going through in life, this experience inside that you are the one who is experiencing it. I am existing, right? And that is your screen basically. In front of that, all other thoughts and emotions are coming and going, right? So, if you are able to realize that aham inside, awareness, right? You will be able to give up everything else that is coming in front of you. And with that, everything is over. It is finished, right? One who is able to do that, that everything that is coming in life is coming and going. I am identifying with that aham inside, right? So, therefore, those who cannot do that, every one of us, practically, right? We struggle with that. Just like you tried to learn swimming, right? And there was a person who was attending to Ramana Maharshi, one devotee, his name was Shivananda, right? He said that he had a problem. What it was that Maharshi was saying so many things, right? And Shivananda could not understand anything. Couldn't understand anything. This always happens. Many great personalities, Shankaracharya has Thodakacharya like that. Thodaka could not understand anything. But he will sit and listen everything carefully. But he could not understand anything. That was his situation. Shivananda had the same problem with him. Right? So, one day, Shivananda told him, to Ramana Maharshi, I could not understand anything what you are saying. You know, I've been hearing all these things for so long. So Maharshi told him, don't worry about that. All these things what I've spoken is not important. At least you are telling me you, and who is that you? If you understand that, that's enough, he said. You don't have to know anything else more than that, right? Now, this is a direct process. But the problem with this process is that unless you are very pure at heart, you won't be able to tap onto this, right? So he said to him that because he had Shraddha in Maharshi's words and faith in the Maharshi, therefore things happened to him properly, in the sense that he left his body happily in Maharshi's presence. So, and he said to everybody, that Maharshi gave me everything, made it very simple for me, he said. I didn't have to ask many questions or answers, anything. Everything was made very simple, right? And I was satisfied, I felt shanti inside, he said. So what we need is that shanti inside. All other things are siddhis. And suppose siddhis have come and the whole world is enchanted by that. With that, suppose I am not peaceful inside, what benefit is there from all these things in the world, right? So, everything, what makes us into that state, Brahmam it is called. Brahma means that you are carried away by that. It creates a kind of excitement inside that you have got something. In that way. For example, You see these artists, musicians, what do to us? Through their art and music, they create Brahmam in our mind, isn't it? What else are they doing? They through the music, they create Brahmam. Artists also do the same thing. They create Brahmam in our mind, right? but what you will notice often, these artists and these musicians who create in Brahmam in us, they themselves are not in peace. They themselves are not in peace. And because they are also looking for something. Have you noticed that? You look at these big people like so many Western big musicians, isn't it? Michael Jackson. And there were so many others, Oprah Winfrey. And there's so many like that, big artists. And they go and perform all over the world and make people happy. Within themselves, they are miserable. They are looking for happiness. Why is it? Why is that? That is because of this. That what is the use of this? You are entertaining the world, making people happy, removing their suffering, misery and all that. But within you, you are in this miserable state. What good is it? That is the point. Yeah? So, because of this, many habits comes because of this, right? Because of their art, they are not feeling any anandam in that. But they are able to create anandam for others, right? If they had the anandam themselves, then they won't be going out to give anandam to others. So these siddhis or all, they won't give you that anandam, what you need. Because after a long time, these performers who are performing like this, after a long time, they also get fed up in their life. They also get fed up. Everyone gets fed up in life. And that spontaneity has gone and it becomes mechanical. Very mechanical, right? So to this poor person, Shivananda Maharshi told him that hold on to that aham. That will do, that will save you, he said. Hridaya kuhara madhye kevalam brahma matram aham aha sachal atma rubena bhadi. Upadesha saram, he says this verse, first verse, right? So to stay in that state, aham, that is more important, right? It should not be forgotten. And hold on to that, the anubhavam of that chit-shakti in the form of aham. And that is the experience, and it has already happened to you. And therefore, you don't have to worry about anything else. He told this to that Shivananda. And he was peaceful. After that, he didn't inquire about anything. So whole life he spent time with Maharshi. And he listened. He could not understand all the complicated shastram behind it. But because of his purity at the heart, because of his faith and surrender to Maharshi, Maharshi was immensely pleased with him. And because of that, he got this benefit. He didn't have to go through this torturing process of, upasana and all that to such a degree. He didn't have to do that, right? So I think we'll stop there because this verse requires a lot of explanation. We'll continue that next Tuesday. Aham Atma Gudagesha Sarva Bhudashaya Sthila Aham Adhyancha Madhyancha Bhudana Mandamevacha. Famous words in the Bhagavad Gita, right? Okay. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Srila Prabhupada.